Amen. Great. Well, every other month, we have a series called Big Questions. All those big question marks. And you might ask why we're doing this. Well, of course, Christianity used to be taken for granted in this country. Didn't actually mean that people were any more Christian. It's just that people didn't question the status quo. So people assumed that if you were living and breathing in England and you had a British passport and you ticked C of E in your hospital form, which really means if you die in hospital, what kind of funeral would you like? Which I always think is a rather pessimistic question to ask somebody who's coming into hospital, but there you go. But that meant that you were a Christian. Deep down inside, of course, we knew that God was actually British, really. And, of course, that's all changed now. Most people, and particularly most young people, do not identify themselves as Christian or particularly religious. And you might think that as a vicar, I would be unhappy about that. But actually, I'm not unhappy about that, because being a Christian, being a follower of Jesus, is a radical step. Because he's asking people to make a positive choice for him. A bit more radical than just ticking C of E in your hospital form. And I would much rather people made a positive choice for Jesus. So we need to be prepared to go into the marketplace of ideas and engage with all the other competing ideas available and explain just how radical Jesus is and start to dismantle some of the misunderstandings that are floating around about Christianity. And one of those big misunderstandings, one of the big criticisms that we have and we hear from about Christianity is this. Isn't Christianity too judgmental? Is it too judgmental? It's the idea, you know, Christians are always telling other people how they should live their lives. And there's a linked idea. The linked idea, the subtext very often to this, is that Christians are hypocrites. Not only are they telling other people how to live their lives, but they are not practicing what they preach. There's all sorts of great quotes on the web about this. This is Voltaire. Voltaire was an 18th century writer and philosopher and anti-Christian polemicist. Of all religions, said Voltaire, Christianity is without a doubt the one that should inspire tolerance most. Most, although up to now, the Christians have been the most intolerant of all men. That's good, isn't it? And then how about Gandhi? Gandhi said this, I like your Christ, I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. It's terrifying, okay? This is probably my favorite of the week. This is American journalist Herb Kahn. He said this, the trouble with born-again Christians is that they're an even bigger pain the second time around. That's a cracker. Okay, now there's a big debate going on, as we all know, about sexuality in the Church of England. I'm not going to dive into that one this morning. Feel free to come and see me about that one afterwards if you want to. But the assumption of a lot of the comment here is that Christianity is too judgmental and that people should be free and able to live their lives the way they want, especially if they don't happen to be Christians. We live in a free society. People should be able to do what they want. They should be able to spend their money how they want. They should be able to watch what they want. They should be able to think how they want. They should be able to sleep with whoever they want, how often they want to do it. And it's not up to church or a bunch of religious people to tell them what they should do or condemn them for not living up to a load of rules which have been distilled from a book which is 2,000 years old. You might be surprised to hear that I totally agree with all that. I totally agree with all that. I don't need persuading on this one. The reason I think that people should be free to live the lives that they want to live, and the reason I don't think it's my place to condemn them, is that that is the Jesus way. And there are lots of examples in the Bible of the way that Jesus acted in that way. We saw just one of them this morning. That film, it's a great film. It's the whole Gospel of John, every word of the Gospel of John, but acted out in a really, really good way. And this is the situation. There's Jesus. He's surrounded he's with his disciples, and he's suddenly surrounded by a bunch of religious experts. Jewish legal experts, and they bring along a woman caught in the very act of adultery. That's what it says. Interesting, they don't bring along the man. You would have thought he'd be around to drag along as well, but they only bring along the woman. And she's thrown into the ground in front of him, and they say, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. The Jewish law says she should be stoned to death, a bit like Sharia law in Islamic countries, some Islamic countries. What do you think, Jesus? What would you do? Now, because the first thing to say is, this is a setup. This is a trap. The woman is being used to get Jesus to say one of two awful things. First of all, he's being asked to say, adultery is okay. There's nothing wrong with adultery. Well, obviously, he's not going to do that. And then he's being asked to say, well, okay, stoning people to death is okay. And he's not going to say that either. So they're basically saying to him, which of those two appalling, unpleasant things are you going to say? Because you've got to say one of them. You've got to say one of them. And, you know, one tip I would give you if you're questioned about your faith, of course, the Bible says we need to be ready to make a defense of what we believe. And that's what the New Testament, that's what the Apostle Peter says in the New Testament. But can I just suggest, don't allow people who aren't Christians tell you what you should be believing as a Christian. All right? And I've had that from time to time. My dad, who's now, you know, passed on, he's now died. He used to say, you know, Christians should believe this, 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 and this. Now, to be fair to my dad, he readily admitted he hadn't read the Bible since he was at school, and we were having this conversation while he was in his 70s or 80s. But he still seemed to think that he could tell me, who'd been a Christian for and read the Bible rather more recently, he had, what a Christian should believe. Now, you know, I don't go up to atheists and say, you know, you're an atheist. You should be, real atheists should believe this, this, and this, you know? And yet, I find sometimes atheists or non-Christians or non-believers do that. Just don't allow people to lay down your agenda for you or God's agenda for him, all right? So, but let's go back to the story. There's Jesus, the woman's hurled to the ground in front of him. Situation of high drama, raised voices, massive tension, life and death situation. Jewish religious leaders looking on, crowd looking on, disciples looking on. This actually took place in Solomon's portico. There was a big, there's a big kind of a covered walkway, like a terrace around the top of this square, and Roman soldiers used to patrol it because the temple was a hotbed of anti-Roman agitation. So, a big situation of high drama. What's Jesus going to do? Do you know what he does? He starts writing on the dust on the ground. Just writing in the dust. And there's lots of speculation about why he writes in the dust. I mean, I've heard it said that what he did was he started to write in the dust the secret sins of all the people looking on. It's interesting, isn't it? You know, adulterer, thief, you know, that kind of stuff. That's interesting, isn't it? Well, that's a really neat idea. Barbara's actually say that. The first thing that seems totally obvious to me is this. I think he's taking time to think and pray quietly, don't you? Have you ever somebody comes up to you and says, what do you think about this then? Now that's the moment. Instead of responding instantly, how about kind of just sitting down there and just doing a little bit of writing on the ground, you know? And so next time somebody comes up to you and hurls an accusation about God or Christianity or the church in your face, don't rush back. Take your time, you know? You can't dialogue with somebody if you're about to have a big row with them. Just dial everything down a bit. But I did find this week a very interesting little verse about Jesus writing in the dust. I don't know if you've ever come across this before. But there have been lots of explanations about this writing in the dust. Here's a very interesting verse. It's from the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, the front part of the Bible. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 13. This is what God says, or what Jeremiah says. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all you forsake you, who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away from you will be written in the dust because they've forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water. Isn't that interesting? I wonder whether Jesus had that in mind. I wonder whether he was saying to the accusers of the woman, in dragging this woman before me, in asking me to tell you to stone her to death in the name of God, you've forsaken the Lord. You've totally missed it. Could be, couldn't it? Just could be. Anyway, there he is, quietly writing in the dust. And it says they kept on questioning him. You're going to say adultery's okay? Can we stone her? You're going to let us stone her? And he comes out with this extraordinary reply. If any one of you is without sin, you cast the first stone. And one by one, they melt away. And it says the oldest ones went first. Then maybe the oldest ones had more sins than the younger ones. I don't know. But they melt away. Because no one can't say they haven't sinned. One by one, they just disappear. Until only Jesus is left with the woman. And then the gospel records this. Jesus straightened up and said, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declares. "Go now and leave your life of sin." So, how does this story help us when we're trying to explain to someone else who Jesus is and what he's done for us? How should we respond when people accuse us? Well, the first thing it's tempting to say is that Jesus is saying sin doesn't matter. We can do whatever we like. God is completely happy with that. There's no such thing as sin. And anyone who says there is just being judgmental. Actually, Jesus is not saying that. Actually, he says the complete opposite. See, the last thing is this. She's been caught committing adultery. And the last thing he says to her before she goes away is, "Go and sin no more." Now, I don't actually think that that's what the average person in Britain in 2016 would say. The average person in 2016 would probably say, "Do whatever is right for you. Follow your heart. Follow your feelings. Just express yourself however you want. Nobody else can tell you what to do." Jesus doesn't do that. He says, "Go and sin no more." Jesus is not morally soft on sin. He's very clear there's a difference between right and wrong. He says we have a choice, and you choose me. I'm to choose to do the right thing. See, he's tough on sin. But if he's tough on sin, he's even tougher on judgmental people who think they could take the moral high ground and dish out condemnation to others. And he's very clear about it. Don't do it. Don't do it because it makes you a hypocrite. And the worst, the most terrifying condemnation you get out of Jesus against anybody in the Gospels is against people who are hypocritical. Here we are. One thing he detests is hypocrisy. This is Jesus talking to the Pharisees. There's acres of this stuff. I'm just giving you a tiny bit. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell?" It's extraordinary, isn't it? The toughest thing Jesus has to say are not to the outcasts of society. They're not to the alcoholics. They're not to the prostitutes. They're not to the tax collectors. They're not to the people who are shunned by polite society. They're to the religious leaders, the people who do not do what they tell other people to do. And Nick Webb was speaking here a few months ago, and he said something very memorable. He said, it's God's job, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict someone of their sin. It's our job to love them. Let's not try and do God's job for him. It's good that, isn't it? Let's not try and do God's job for him. One other thing that we need to remember, Christianity is about grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. I stand in front of you as a sinner. The vicar is a sinner. He is. He still sins. He tries not to, but somehow he still keeps doing it. Okay? I would feel embarrassed, but I know you're all in the same boat. Yes, Can we have a few nods here? It's true, isn't it? Okay? I don't deserve God's mercy, neither do you. But the amazing truth is, Jesus died for me and he died for you. He died for us so we don't need to pay the penalty for our sin. He took it all on himself. We're all in the same position as the woman on the ground. We've all sinned. Okay, not everybody's been caught in the act of adultery. But unfortunately, Jesus says, if you look on a man, or I suppose a woman or a man, with lust in your heart, then it's as good as adultery, or as bad as adultery. It's just the same. It's just the same. And there can't be many people here who haven't done that once or twice in their lives. You see, the thought is as bad as the act. So I can't stand here any more virtuous than any of you. Okay. But Jesus says, I've sorted this. I've died for your sin. So you don't need to. That's the amazing truth of the gospel. Okay? It means good news. It's fantastically good news. But that means that I've got to get as far away from this stuff again. I don't want to keep on doing it. What does Paul say? Flee from sexual immorality. You're not your own. You were bought at a price. Honor God with your bodies. Okay? So, for our own life, we've got to make sure we don't do this stuff. Sexual immorality, there's a whole long list of other stuff in the Bible. I'm just mentioning that one. That's what Paul mentions there. But I know that I'm in no position to start judging other people, and particularly people who are not Christians. I can't go and start telling them how to live their lives. That's God's job, okay? My job is to love them. That's my job. That's your job. And that's incredibly attractive. Because when we love people, do you know what happens? People see Jesus in us. People do see Jesus. It seems extraordinary somebody could look at me and see Jesus in me, but occasionally people do. I'm astounded when it happens, but it does happen because despite my imperfections, despite all that I am, Jesus just kind of escapes, you know. He just kind of bursts out and thinks he does it with you. He does it with you. Okay. What the aim of our church is to see the kingdom of God come in power through the transformation of our community. When Jesus sends us out there, he sends around just loads of little hand grenades and time bombs ticking away to explode with God's goodness. That's what he does. And people are just attracted to him. If we just go out and be Jesus to people, people just can't resist Jesus. They might be able to resist you and me. Certainly could resist me, I'm sure. But they can't resist Jesus in us. That's the amazing thing. So, go back to our big question. Isn't Christianity too judgmental? Absolutely not. Christianity is not judgmental. Okay? Because Jesus isn't judgmental. But you know, sometimes Christians are. But if we remember that it's God's job to convict someone of our sin, and it's our job to love them, let's not try and do God's job for him. Then, when we go out and love people, and we can love people all sorts of different ways, when we go out and love people, people won't just see us, they'll see Jesus. And they'll be drawn to him.